On today's episode of Double Down Trent, it is conference championship weekend in the NFL. What a weekend we've got to look forward to. It's Brady versus Rodgers. It's Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Old quarterbacks versus the young quarterbacks. We break down these games and make our picks. Plus, we also talk about what we think would make the most intriguing matchup for the Super Bowl. Is it going to be Buffalo Bills going back up against their old foe, Tom Brady? Well, stay tuned and see on episode number 97 of Double Down Trent.
Double Down Trent, you might want to tune in. Talking gambling and sports, predicting who might win. Pop culture to movies, let's start up the combo. Ryan and Aaron, man versus the motto. Keep it authentic and it's always live. So competitive, so you know it's always hype. Make sure you subscribe, trust you don't want to miss. Going all in here on Double Down Trent. Hey, yeah, Double Down Trent, let's go.
This is Double Down Trent.
All right, welcome to Double Down Trent, the podcast where two elementary school buddies are talking sports, gambling, and pop culture. My name is Ryan. I'm your co-host as always. Joining us tonight to recap the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, it is our insider, Coulter. How you doing, bud?
You know, I'd be doing better if I didn't spew absolute crap on last week's podcast. I think I got every single bet and everything I said incorrectly. The good news is that it ended up working out because we got the best of the matchups here. I think we've got conference championships that nobody can complain about, no matter what the Super Bowl matchup is from here. I think you have a pretty good storyline. So I'm really excited that the Bills advanced and I kind of reverse jinxed them. And, you know, I apologize to the listeners that maybe you took the Ravens with me, but you know that I'm anti-Ravens in my deep down. And I just wanted a little bit of action. So I'm happy that it worked out well, that we get a great AFC championship game. And then obviously in the NFC, you've got Tommy Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. That's like a little mini Super Bowl within itself. It's really, we get a conference championship, a mini Super Bowl, and then the Super Bowl.
It's kind of a nice little perfect round of matchups, in my opinion. I mean, there's all kinds of storylines, and we'll get to all that. But yeah, you know, you have a tough week of picks. It's the ebbs and flows of gambling, my friend. You're poised for a nice little bounce back position. We are also joined by our Patriots expert living in Philly, Bill Hughes. What's up, Bill?
What's up, guys? Good to be with you. It was a fun weekend, and I actually was I was an example of that bounce back. I'd been ice cold, and here we go. Came into last weekend and actually ended up doing pretty well. Both of my Super Bowl futures are playing in the championship, not against each other, which would have guaranteed me somebody in the game, but again, could get the possibility of them playing each other. Don't even need to hedge it. Already got the bet in there. So excited about that opportunity. Looking forward to getting into it. And ultimately, you know, I think there was some retribution, vindication, whatever word you want to throw around it that we'll talk a little bit about one Thomas Brady that I think, you know, as a Pats fan and as the breakup happened, I think we knew we were going to get to this moment where it was going to be like, who won the breakup? And so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I've tweeted out that we've reached the point now where I feel like you just can't hate Brady. Even if you're a Jets fan, even if you're just a team that's been burned by Brady for his entire career, at some point you just have to stand back and be like, all right, this is just amazing what's happening, and you've got to just kind of be in awe of what he's doing. So we'll get to that. I do want to first take a selfish moment. I'd be remiss not to talk about my crazy eight-leg parlay that we had discussed. Boys, I got 7 of 8 legs correct. I mean, it was so tantalizing. So the game I lost was the over in the Chiefs-Browns game, and it stung me so bad for a number of reasons. First of all, the Chiefs kicker left 4 points on the board. Then you had Rashad Higgins and that fumble as he tried to score a touchdown that went into the end zone as a touchback. That's 11 points. Guess what? That 11 points covers my number. I hit my fucking parlay. I know I can't sit and think about it too much, but it's that just little bit of heavy amount of cash that was just staring at me that I no longer have. I guess I never had it, but the thought of having it and coming that close, I feel like Costanza when he got burned having the pastrami and the TV having sex with his girl under the sheets. Hughes, you're my get rich or die parlaying guy. Give me a little advice here. Talk me back down.
All right. So here's the thing. And this is the thing when you live the parlay life. Do you want to lose early or do you want to lose late? Because again, the way you lost, and the ultimate irony that you didn't share was that you only ended up hedging 1 of the 8 bets, and you actually hit the one hedge you made, which again is it just shows you that the gods, they're fickle. I mean, and they're tough when it comes to gambling. But like ultimately, how would you have felt if if that had been the last game. Now, granted, you would have been able to maybe hedge it a little bit differently, but still it would have been tough because you would have had both, you would have had two bets on the same game with which you wouldn't have known the outcome of one of them. But at the same time, like, it was a great run. I mean, a great set of picks and ultimately shows that, like, you know, throwing some money on a parlay at the end of the day, you know, sometimes if you can get hot, I think if anybody remembers back to the famous Ocean's 11 speech, George Clooney tells you what you need to do. You need to hit when you have the opportunity. Eventually the house always wins, but not if you get them on that one shot. You almost had it. You almost had it. It was great. We were riding along with you, but yeah, just what a wild parlay, and to see it kind of come together. And then, yeah, you've got the pain and suffering at the end of having to see the rest of the bets hit. Which is also good that you didn't hedge all of them because you would end up losing even more money. So
yeah, and I was texting you guys, so I ended up ultimately doing a parlay of the Chiefs money line and the under in that game, which ended up hitting. So I ended up in my unit bets, but again, I didn't win that $2,400. So I guess it is what it is. But alas, Coulter, the way I'm looking at it, I am 7 in my last 8. That's it. I'm 7-1 over the weekend.
I think it shows that, yeah, I think you've got a pretty good feel for the league. I mean, if you can go 7 of 8 in the, you know, divisional round, that shows that the hard work that we've been doing here on the podcast pays off. You know, I think that's what that really goes and shows. That shows if you went to Vegas and placed those all individually, you would have had a 7-1 weekend. You got to look at the bright side there. And as you laid out, I mean, that game going under of all the totals, I feel like that was the one that's kind of like the misleading total, because you're right. The touchback is 6-7 points, and then the field goal kicker leaves 4 off for you, and then Mahomes gets hurt. So, and then Mahomes, yep, is completely limp as a, you know, he had that great run, which I thought the play was the play of the weekend for sure, but he was limp otherwise. So you add all that up there, and if that's the one leg that you missed on, I think you had a pretty good read of everything. You know, I went back and listened to the podcast, and I was as off as I was on everything, you were pretty much spot on. So I think kudos to you for definitely having a good feel for last weekend.
You know, I'm feeling it. I'm hot, so I think I got a good grasp on what's going to happen here. But as we know in this round of the playoffs, you just don't know what can happen. I mean, there's a whole bunch of scenarios. But before we go back and look at the games, I think this is the moment for Bill to take the floor. You can now talk about the absolute dominance that is Tom Brady. I can't explain it, so hopefully you can do a pretty good job. What were you thinking watching that game and looking back at Tommy's performance?
I mean, I think we talked about it a few weeks back, you know, or I just think Tom Brady this time of year is an automatic bet, right? So it's been easy as a Pats fan for that to be, you know, your guy and for you to feel that level of confidence. Now, that being said, we also talked about, you know, what Bruce Arians kind of brings to that relationship and how that maybe creates a little bit of uncertainty. But I think ultimately what we saw this weekend and what we've seen all year and ultimately for this guy's entire career is that he knows how to win football games, and he knows how to play some of his best football, or ultimately not his worst football, when he needs to. And I think, you know, ultimately people may not look at his stat line from last week and be blown away by the number of yards or all this. He didn't turn the ball over. He took care of the game. He won a game with a team that, like, again, is they've never been to this point before. This team is not a team that understands. Like, when he was playing with the Pats, he had guys on that team that had won multiple championships. He had guys, coaches, he has proven, kind of like what I talked about, you know, I kind of threw a lot of love at Stefanski a few weeks back when he had to sit out a game and how well prepared the team was. You can see what effect Tom Brady has had on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by the fact of how that game went. Like, I think Drew Brees, again, ultimately didn't play his best last game. I think that's another storyline that we could talk about. But what Tom Brady did, you know, in this season and to get the Bucs to this point, I think, again, I'm not going to say it proves that he wasn't a system quarterback, which I think obviously is the case, but it just proves that this guy cares more about winning football games than probably anybody that's ever lived. And maybe not some Bill Belichick or whatever, but Tom Brady, like, that's the fabric of who he has become. And I think a lot of people wanted to see this guy fail. And I think the way he's done it has won a lot of people over that maybe do now respect the fact that this guy is going into a point in his life as an athlete that no one has ever been this successful. There has not been an athlete at this point in our lives that has ever been able to sustain this level of success. And we've seen, you know, the Pats, I thought, played okay this year. I thought Bill did a lot with the team that he had, the quarterback that he had. But Tom Brady proved that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback, the greatest football player that's ever lived. And I don't think there's any way you can debate that. And people are like, well, he's got, you know, like, we'll see how he does this weekend. Yeah, I think we look, everybody's seen the stats of quarterbacks in their first year with Bruce Arians. It's been a nightmare. So many good core. I mean, Carson Palmer struggled. Ben Roethlisberger struggled. Jameis Winston struggled. Sorry, I only laugh because I love Jameis. But Jameis comes in and throws a dime in that game. And honestly, maybe you could say Jameis should have gotten more opportunities with the Saints, given the fact that we now know that Drew had a torn rotator cuff, that there were more things wrong with him than his ribs. But anyways, not here to talk about that. But like, I think what we saw again is an affirmation that Tom Brady deserves all the praise, all the adulation, all the cheating scandals, the Deflategate, all that stuff was noise. It was noise because people couldn't figure out how a team and a guy could sustain a level of dominance and success for as long as they did. And I think this is the ultimate icing on the cake for Tom Brady. And I hope that he appreciates, and I doubt he does. That's the type of guy he is. This guy's probably like, no, if I don't beat Aaron Rodgers, none of this matters. And that's the guy that I think ultimately we saw in New England, and I'm glad the world's getting to see, and that we aren't seeing a Michael Jordan with the Wizards, that we aren't seeing, you know, one of these kind of stories where, you know, even Peyton with the Broncos is a great story, but like Peyton wasn't the same quarterback, but he was the same leader. And you saw again, what I mean, Colter, you front row seat, like, you know, you like these guys are just different. And I think Tom Brady oftentimes wasn't considered at that Peyton Manning level until maybe later in his career. But now I think this just shows, like, it's not just about playing for Bill. This is about a guy who has all the skills, all the mental capabilities, and ultimately is willing to pull his teammates along with him. That defense played great. I mean, he wasn't out there on defense. That defense played great. There were guys that stepped up. And so, I don't know, it was really good to watch. And ultimately, I didn't know how I was going to feel at this point, whether I was going to be hoping that Tom kind of lost because he wasn't leading my team. But nah, I'm all on board with Tom Brady. I'm excited to watch them play this week. I think they, again, we'll get to our picks. I think they win. I think he proves and goes back to a Super Bowl in Tampa. Could they become the first team to ever win a home Super Bowl? There's so many fun stories. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, I just sitting back watching that game, you could just see that he still has it. He hasn't lost it. And I know with Breeze, there's the other things that play there and injuries and whatnot. But, you know, when you saw the two of them next to each other, it was clear who the better quarterback was that day. And it just is that fire, that passion that he's got. It's just, it's an absolute awe-inspiring to watch. You texted the stat, Hughes, and it's, again, another one of these mind-blowing stats. So it's the most playoff wins against NFC teams by a quarterback. Brett Favre is number one with 12 wins. Aaron Rodgers has 10. Joe Montana has 10. Roger Staubach, 9. Donovan McNabb with 9. And then there's five guys tied with 8. Tom Brady has 8 wins against NFC playoff teams, which is ridiculous that this is his first year in the NFC. Along with Drew Brees, we just beat Russell Wilson, Troy Aikman, and Kurt Warner. I mean, it's incredible. Can't even hate on it. Colter, you got the comparisons a little bit with Peyton at the end when he was on the Broncos. Do you think it's similar? Or do you think Brady's doing something a little different here?
Well, I think Hughes did a great job of running down all the things he's doing great as a leader and the mental aspect of it. But I mean, also, I think what's most impressive is the physical part, right? I mean, and you don't think of Brady as necessarily a physically imposing athlete, but I mean, the fact that he's preserved his body 5+ years than his peers. I mean, you look at Phillip Rivers retiring. I mean, Roethlisberger is probably going to be on his way out as well. Breeze is definitely shot now at this point. And there's just so many of his contemporaries that have not lasted as long as he has, but it's more than just lasting in the ring. I mean, he's definitely dominating in the ring. And you could tell he's probably the most supercharged guy out there on the field at 43. The fact that he has that much energy, that he can still hang with guys who are 15 years younger than him, 20 years younger than him, is really quite something to behold. And Hughes is right. It's like, I never really liked the guy rooting against him when he was in New England, being a Bronco fan, but I mean, he's the GOAT for sure. And I mean, I definitely have to respect what he's done to his body to preserve himself and to keep his career going at this point. And it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. And, you know, I think he also understands the way to construct a roster too. I mean, he knew that he needed to get more and more receivers, because think about it. Evans breaks down at the end of this season. Godwin, the ball, he can't hold on to it in the first round. Then he drops the touchdown last week. You have Howard, who went down with an injury. Brown goes down with an injury. So clearly he knew I needed to get Brown. I needed to get Gronk. I need to get all as many weapons as I possibly can, because depth is of the most essential importance in the playoffs. And you look at them going into the Packers this week, I think Hughes is not wrong. They definitely have a chance to win, even though Brown, and Evans are a little dinged up. And, you know, I think Jones has gone through injuries. This is a team that has dealt with injuries on offense, and they've shown that clearly they have enough depth to kind of persevere through that all. And I definitely think they have a chance to win this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. And Rodgers, Brady, that's just like a dream matchup. I'm sure the networks are just loving that they've got this to dissect here. So let's go reverse. Let's start with that game. A lot to break down in that one. Obviously, Hughes, you said Jameis with that trick play touchdown. The funniest part was that was the exact play that was ran against the Saints by the Bears that I believe Mims dropped. But so great job by Sean Payton. Just be like, hey, man, we're just going to take your play and do it. And we executed it better. I don't know. There's just so many things off about that Saints. And it really feels like that was kind of the end of that Saints run. Is that kind of what you guys are thinking, Hughes?
Yeah. I'm looking at the stat line. Drew Brees, 19 for 34, which actually was one more completion than Brady had, for 134 yards and three interceptions. It's just, it's like, it was the nightmare ending. And I feel bad for Drew. I feel bad for a little bit for the Saints. I think I made a joke about it being karma to how this, that I think some of the way that the Saints have kind of flipped the bird to some of the other teams and maybe the league. But at the same time, like, it was too bad to see Drew go, in my opinion, kind of go out this way. But yes, I think this team is done. I think whatever happened with Michael Thomas, like that whole fiasco this year, him saying, I don't know if you saw some of his comments after the game, but they made me play hurt. They said they were better with that. Like, I don't know. Like, there's something wrong with this team from that perspective. I don't think they have a good quarterback option going forward with either Hill or Winston. I think maybe Peyton can make him work, but I think this is maybe a classic example of the Pats with Cam Newton. They're going to, everybody loves Sean Payton enough, and Sean Payton's smart enough that everybody's gonna be like, oh yeah, we'll make it work. I don't think that's going to be the case. This defense is old. Their best player, I thought, on defense, Malcolm Jenkins, is done. I mean, for the most part, he's like 1,000 years old. And I just think I don't know. I don't see them bouncing back. I think they've got a lot of things that they got to fix on the roster, and the biggest one being Drew Brees. Now, I don't know what the cap situation looks like. Obviously, I think Brees getting off there is going to be such a huge
move. It's not good. New Orleans is screwed on the cap.
Yeah, and then if that's the case, then like, I just think we're looking at a couple down years possibly for the Saints. I mean, maybe they'll be competitive, kind of like the Pats were this year, where you've got a good enough coach where you can win enough games to feel like you might have you might be in the hunt when the in the hunt thing pops up on the television. We could see the Saints in the hunt next year at 4-5. But like, I think that's kind of the trajectory. And plus, you're looking at that division. It'll be interesting to see kind of where that division trends as well. Obviously, Brady seeming like he's going to stay. Two of those wins in their season this year were against Tampa Bay, that maybe those aren't there next year and whatnot. So I don't know. I think it's over. It was kind of sad to see, but like, Drew couldn't move the ball. And clearly, when they came out and said he had a torn rotator cuff after the game, that's been obvious, I think, for a lot of the season.
That adds up. It's kind of surprising that they would just, I guess, play him. Maybe Peyton owed it to him one last game.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, be a shitty spot to bench him there. But, I mean, I guess you could have played him off that he had the injuries the entire time with the broken ribs and the rotator cuff. I mean, that seems like it could have been easy to protect him. But I guess you wanted to see him go out one more time. Coulter, we talked about this a few weeks ago in the regular season with Michael Thomas. I feel like he's out of there, right? I mean, that seems like a bad marriage right now.
Yeah, I felt bad being on the wrong side of this, because the minute the game started and Thomas was a non-factor, I was just thinking, you know, I knew that this locker room was not, you know, they don't gel like a normal locker room does. Clearly, there's something going on there. And yeah, the Thomas thing, a huge factor, I think, because if you had told me before the game, this guy has zero catches, 0 yards, I would have said Bucks by 3.5 should be the spread. I mean, and that's, I know that sounds drastic, a 6-point swing, but you're telling me that their best receiver is going to be ineffective with a quarterback who's hurt. And that's before seeing Breeze's stat line. Just knowing that Thomas is not going to be part of that offense would have made me get so far off of them that I would have swung it at least, you know, a good 6 points, because their offense is just, it's so dependent on him and Kamara. And I think one of the things that I missed in the handicap too, and this came out later in the week, is obviously Murray was out and Hill was out. So they really just had no backup running back, and Kamara needs that thunder to his lightning. He is not, he's a very talented running back, probably the most talented running back in the league, I would even argue, but he's not somebody that can do it all on his own. Defenses can scheme him out of the game if he doesn't have a complimentary person with him in the backfield. And with Breeze's limitations as a passer, it was a nightmare situation for Kamara. You don't have Murray, you don't have Breeze going deep. Thomas is not a factor. And then the other thing, I mean, as the game progressed, is like Breeze is trying to get it in there to Sanders. I love Emmanuel, but he's past his prime. Jared Cook with the fumble. This is just an old crickety roster. Hughes hit on the defense being old. The offense is really old too. And we kind of watched that play out in real time. And as that game was going on, I just was like, oh, why am I on the Saints here? This is so stupid. Jared Cook and Emmanuel Sanders and all these guys who are out, their offense just wasn't good. And yeah, I think Thomas is, he's got to be out. And I think that team is headed towards a rebuild faster than it is to getting back to the playoffs.
And even Taysom Hill, I know we kind of joke about that he's just like this trick play guy, but that does take away your options at the goal line. They've used him really well and efficiently on the goal line, where now the defense isn't sure what you got to do. Is he going to throw the ball? They're going to just do a heavy package and run the ball. They scored a lot of touchdowns with him on the field. So once you remove that weapon, it really limits your offense. But I have a little hot take. I think Thomas goes tries to go to Jacksonville and reunites himself with Urban.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen.
We'll see.
Again, no, I don't know if Urban wants that. Again, Michael Thomas to me has kind of proved that. Is he the type of guy? I mean, like, 4 targets, no catches in the biggest game of the season. Like, I don't know. Like, there's something that doesn't totally add up there. Kamara only getting 3 catches when Leonard Fournette on the other side had 5. Like, just show there was also something wrong with this game plan, I thought. And the other thing we talked about, Devin White played probably one of the best games I've ever seen a linebacker play. Top to bottom, run, pass, everything. And so again, that he was not in the week before because of COVID, and maybe even the week before that, he might have been on a 2-week break. But he was absolutely a wild man. And I think that ultimately turned the tide. That Cook fumble changed the whole game. It did seem like, again, the Saints had a little bit of juice going, and that they might be okay. That fumble happened and it was like, okay, flip the switch. This one's over.
That Bucs defense is underrated. Devin White gave them a huge, huge shot at life. I mean, he played out of his mind. I think that's going to be an incredible matchup this week when you see what he's going to do against Aaron Jones, because he's a power runner who also can catch the ball. So if Devin White can, you know, keep him limited, especially in the passing game, then it's going to be interesting. All right, let's go to the Chiefs-Browns game. It definitely shook out differently than I thought. And certainly once Mahomes got injured, that kind of changed the dynamics of that game. I think ultimately, though, if you're a Browns fan, you got to like what you saw. You were ultimately competitive with the best team in the league. You had a shot to win the game, even though Mahomes got knocked out. I think if you're a Browns fan, you look at that game and you look at the future and you go, you know what? We got ourselves our coach. Baker looked good. I don't know, Coulter. What do you think if you're a Browns fan right now?
You just said it. I'm thinking future. Give me the division odds, especially if they're not the favorite next year. That is the worst line that Vegas can give. If the Browns are not the favorite to win that division, bang it, hang it, and bang it more in the offseason. I think this is the best team heading into the 2021 season in the AFC North. I think the Steelers roster is going to be broken up just like the Saints. They're way over the cap. Tomlin's 3-7 in the playoffs. They've got to be looking. I mean, they've already fired their offensive coordinator. They've got to be looking at overhauling the roster, maybe changing a couple things philosophically speaking, because clearly they're in a bad situation. And I mean, we'll get to the Ravens here in a second, but let's just say it flat out. There's no quarterback that's entering the 2021 season with more pressure on his back than Lamar Jackson. I don't like the way that roster is going to unfold too. I think they're going to end up having cap problems. They don't have receivers. John Harbaugh just said earlier today, I think that he doesn't want to beg receivers to come to Baltimore to play for the team. But what does that mean? I would be begging. You need a big, strong, powerful receiver to get on this roster, because nobody's respecting you as a passing offense at all right now. They've got a lot of problems there. I think the Browns, yeah, very optimistic about them. I'm definitely going to look for their future to win the division. I think they've got a young roster. It's the youngest in the AFC. They got 2 good running backs. Baker looked good. Stefanski is there to stay. We went over him last week. And you know, the defense, just keep adding blue chippers. Myles Garrett's obviously a fantastic player, and Ward is a top 5 pick. You get another blue chip defensive guy on that roster with all the offensive talent they have. I think the future is very bright.
I think they're missing Greedy Williams pretty much the entire season too. So they got guys that are coming back. They're a few pieces away on defense, but a very good offensive line. They've got all offensive weapons there. If you get Odell back and he falls in line, I mean, that's a very scary offense.
And 2 tight ends overall. Too.
Yeah.
Cooper,
yeah.
And Brian. I think they can hang. I mean, if they can hang in a playoff game with the Chiefs, they got to feel confident about themselves.
Hughes and your Michigan boy, Chad Henne, coming off the bench. I got to be honest, I had no idea he was still in the league. But hey, man, he made a couple of big plays.
I mean, not only a Michigan boy, Colton Pryor doesn't even know this. Shout out to Andy Lajato, college roommate, who was a teammate of Chad Henne at Wilson High School in Pennsylvania. And this guy, yeah, I mean, the tie-ins with Chad, they go deep. When he came in the game, again, I think I told you guys, I bet the Browns live plus 710 when Mahomes went out, not knowing yet like how serious it was, but hoping that that might happen. Chad Henne came in. I pretty much already spent that money. Like, I literally think you might be able to track my Amazon purchases, that money's already been spent. And then all of a sudden, Colton talked about it earlier, that run play was electric. And the fact that the refs got the spot, what I thought was perfectly right, then the Chiefs, and this is, again, we talked about Bill Belichick being a great coach. We talked about Sean Payton being a great coach. Andy Reid will go down in the books as one of the gutsiest, most confident, doesn't give a fuck coaches that has ever lived. By all of a sudden, every person, me, you, the commentators, hard count. They're not going to snap the ball. There's no way they're going to do this. Snap the ball, throw it for a first down. Let's get out of here. They don't need to get on a plane. Let's go home. Let's get ready for the next week. Unbelievable call by Andy Reid. Guts on top of guts. And that's what you do. That's how you play winning football. That is not what the Browns did on the drive before when they decided to blow a terrible timeout on a first down that Baker had gotten. Then they compound the issue and throw he checks to a screen on the blitz, check to a hot, the slot receiver, if anybody watch that play, the slot open receiver there. Literally could have turned around and run for 40 yards. He runs a friggin' screen play with seven guys running at him. But guess what? It was a zone blitz. So he had one of the defensive linemen had dropped off. I think it was, I don't know if it's Clark or who it was, but again, it was a wrong call. Baker made the wrong, I think he thought he made the right play, cause I think he thought it was an all out blitz. It wasn't, it was a zone blitz. Anyways, they got all jammed up there. Then go for it. If you want to win football games, do not punt the ball. This one, again, there was another tweet that this was one of the worst surrenders of punts, whatever that the Twitter handle is. And again, it was unbelievable. Control your own destiny. And honestly, they were down five. So worst case scenario, they get a three and out, they kick a field goal, they still get the ball back and have a chance. It was a totally misplayed, I think, again. But I think if Mahomes is in there, they go for it. There's no question in my mind. You got Chad Henne in there, and I guarantee Stefanski, because he's a great coach, is like, let's punt it. Like, we've got a backup quarterback. Let's force them. And guess what? Chad Henne did it. The veteran came through to get back to where we started, and that was the difference in the game. Chad Henne and Andy Reid. And if I'm a Browns fan, I'm pumped. Though Nick Chubb was kind of disappointing, I thought. I don't know what was going on with Nick Chubb. Now, granted, I thought who's Chris Jones. Chris Jones played great. And I did think that they were having trouble up the middle. But I thought Chubb dropped a couple that he should have caught. Again, I don't know why they were throwing it to him so much. I thought Hunt should have been in there a little bit more. I think Hunt, you know, like in that game was probably a better matchup. Like, that's, again, not to tout Bill Belichick. I think you would have seen a lot more Hunt if Bill Belichick was the coach of that team than you would have seen Chubb in that game particularly, especially as it started to play out. But again, great game. And I think the Chiefs are a little wounded. I think we saw, even with Mahomes in there, a little bit of their vulnerability, but we talked about this before the pod, to see what the public does once they decide whether Mahomes is in or whether Mahomes is out. Where does the public go in this game? Do they go with the Bills and get excited, or do they go with the Chiefs, where they think this is just an absolutely generational team with a generational quarterback?
Great point with Chubb. There's so many times where throughout the season, he wasn't involved in the passing game at all. That's clearly what they had Kareem Hunt for, and Hunt dominates in the passing game. Every game I've watched of the Browns, where there is a passing down, third down, they always bring in Hunt. Why not just bring him in those situations and let him do it?
One target. He had one target in that game. And I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
And don't you think he'd be highly motivated against his former team that he wants
former
to come out
team,
and
play? Yeah, that was one of the storylines going into the game. It was very confusing. No so injury designation or anything like that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think, again, I there may be a tendency. They may have done some self-scouting and saw that they have a huge tendency when he's in the game and they throw the ball a lot more. And again, that, like, teams do that in the playoffs, and I think sometimes they out-psych themselves with, oh God, like, the Chiefs are going to know every time Hunt's in, we're 85% pass. But again, towards the end of that game, when they needed to move the ball, I thought he should have been in the game. And the fact that he had one target is just egregious.
So strange. And you said it too, Hughes, that the difference of that game was the aggressiveness. We talked about last week where the Titans and the Steelers made stupid punt decisions, and then we saw it again this week. But the stark opposite is Andy Reid just putting his nuts on the table. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was watching it too. Like you said, he was a. I'm like, there's no way they're snapping this. They're going to try and draw him off sides, call timeout, maybe punt it. Just the rollout with Henny. I mean, just the absolute balls to call that play with your backup quarterback is unbelievable. And you know what? It should be a lesson to some of these coaches out there. You got to be aggressive, especially in the playoffs, if you want to win. Bottom line. All right, let's go to the Saturday games. Ravens, Bills, my AFC team just riding high. The Buffalo Bills, they dominated that game. Obviously, it swung on that Lamar interception in the end zone. That could have gone totally different, but the game is essentially over at that point. Coulter, we already did a little tease on this one. We were hitting down on the Ravens and Lamar. What were some of your big takeaways from that game?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the same thing we've known for the last 2 years. This guy is just limited, especially when he's down in games. I know he engineered that drive that got him onto the goal line where they threw the pick, but even then, I think that offense looked like it was like chalk on a or a nails on a chalkboard. You know, they don't have enough pop in a postseason game. I mean, if they had won that game, what would the line have been against the Chiefs? Seven and a half? They just don't have enough firepower on offense vertically to ever scare teams. I mean, and then you see it even when the backup comes in, they go deep and they have a guy, you know, he overthrows him by, you know, 5 yards. That's just like the story of their season. Very inefficient offense through the year. I know I was praising Greg Roman's name last week. It almost did a little bit of a reverse jinx just to make sure the Ravens lost. But, that there's something really wrong about them. And on the flip side, though, I mean, this is why you get a game that only has 20 total points, is you have two offenses that are not really good at a particular thing. The Ravens cannot throw the ball, which I think is the most alarming of the two. But then Buffalo really struggled to run the football, really struggled to sustain drives because they're just so one-dimensional. I think Allen had, what, 7 carries for 3 yards, and Singletary was ineffective. And I think it was like the second least amount of rushing yards for a team that's won a playoff game ever. So those are all things, if you're a Bills fan, you can't really be happy about. I actually think, not to play spoiler of one of the, you know, bets I'm looking at, but I think they're going to go on the run. I know they were super bad against the Ravens last week, but the Bills have to stick with that. Otherwise, their offense is just an unbalanced mess. And that's what it kind of looked like on Saturday night. It didn't look like an offense that could get to the Super Bowl. They really need to find some sort of run game before they get to Tampa Bay.
I know you point that out, and that they really didn't move the ball on the ground at all. But I mean, when you look at it, the Ravens defense was coming in really hot. They're playing some of their best ball. They're coming off a really stymie performance with a shutdown Derrick Henry. How much of that do you think you chalk up to the Ravens D being, you know, an elite unit, and how much of that is just where the Bills are lacking in the run game?
Well, I think Moss's injury definitely hurts them too. It makes them a little bit more predictable with what they want to do. And I don't know if Singletary is necessarily the best in between tackles rusher. I mean, they definitely have a benefit this weekend because Allen is definitely still a dual threat. Whereas Mahomes, between the concussion and the toe injury, I don't know if he's going to run as much or even if he's going to roll out as much as usually does. So I kind of like, Allen, you know, I think he has a little bit of an advantage because he can do a lot more outside the pocket. In terms of the run game itself, though, it's a huge mystery without Moss. You know, who's going to carry that load? Do they have somebody else on the roster? I know they had Devontae Freeman and TJ Yeldon. I don't see those guys playing hero in the AFC Championship game on Sunday.
I had no idea that TJ Yeldon was still in the league, let alone on their team. So that was a surprise. But go ahead, Hughes.
Well, I was going to say too, though, and this was as I watched the game, and I think they talked about it a little bit, it wasn't just that the Bills couldn't run the ball. It's that Brian Daboll clearly didn't want to run the ball. And I did not understand the first half of the game. I don't think they had a rush attempt other than I think maybe one, which was a quarterback scramble in the first quarter and a half of the game. I think it was the first game ever where one of the teams in a playoff game didn't have a rushing attempt in the first quarter. Like and then all of a sudden it was like they decided to try and run the ball, and they did have a little bit of success. And I don't know if that was like, we want to wear the defense down. We feel like we can abuse these guys through the air, but, there were like swirling winds. Like it was like, I feel like everybody was like, did Brian Daboll like pull an outsmart myself and just didn't want to stray away from his game plan once he realized that the conditions were a little tough. But anyways, I think the conditions also impacted the offense a bit in that game. And I think ultimately the Bills defense did exactly what we had said last week that the Titans needed to do in order to win their game, which was you got to eliminate the big Lamar Jackson run. Lamar did not have that signature. He almost did, or he did. It got called, one of them got called back, I think, on a hold. But like there was another, like he just didn't have that play where you're like, oh shit, he's got that confidence. He's got that, like, he's got that look in his eye. They were able to keep him bottled up a bit. And like, give a lot of credit to Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown did not have a pulse for like the first 14 weeks of the season. Hollywood Brown actually played okay. He's probably the, like, again, as they talk about, they need a big physical receiver. I agree with that, but they also, again, they need to figure out what they want to be. And I think, you know, getting rid of Ingram, I think, will help them. I think it'll give Dobbins more carries, but I think Gus Edwards deserves more run. He doesn't get enough credit in that offense. It doesn't get enough carries, in my opinion, but the Ravens are in a weird spot, but I am excited to see the Bills this week. I think they'll be able to open things up a little bit more against the Chiefs, barring whatever the weather's going to be like, because I do think that they're really hampered. And I agree with Coulter 1,000%. I think we see Josh Allen scampering this weekend. That was definitely a missed opportunity last weekend. And the Ravens are a little vicious on defense. And so it may have been part of, like, you know, you got guys that are going to come diving in and, you know, maybe willing to take penalties on the Ravens defense. You maybe don't have as many of those guys on the Chiefs.
I think that's exactly right. I think they did not want to run Josh Allen if they didn't have to. But it was really strange that they threw the ball every single offensive play of the first quarter. I was watching it being like, what are they just doing this on purpose? Are they trying to establish something? I mean, it was a really strange game plan. But like you said, Hughes, what the Bills defense was doing, I was screaming for the Titans to do that. Is what they did, from at least what I saw, is that they kept their defensive ends from getting too far upfield, and their defensive tackles stayed kind of in place. And then what they really did was they utilized their slot corners to get the pressure on Lamar. That really kept him in and forced him to go one way or the other. I thought that was a genius scheme by the defensive coordinator. And Leslie Frazier, I mean, he's a really good coach. So I'm curious to see what they draw up this week. And Coulter, like you said, I don't think Mahomes is going to be moving around all that much, especially with the toe, the concussion. So it could be a really interesting matchup here defensively for the Bills. I'm excited. They're my team. So, well, I should put a little caveat, my team for this little playoff challenge. All right, the last game, we got the Packers and the Rams. This game felt like a disappointment to me. And obviously Aaron Donald was clearly more injured than we thought. He didn't play much. It just looked easy. Surprisingly, Jared Goff didn't look horrible. I mean, he didn't lose the game. They just ran into a better offensive team. If you don't have Donald doing what Donald does, then all of a sudden they're not that great of a unit. Coulter, I mean, kind of what we expected, right?
Yeah, they were able to put one guy on Donald instead of the double team, and that made a lot of difference. And I love the three running back attack. I didn't think that was going to work, but they basically copied it right from the Shanahan Niners offense last year, and they just ran him to death with, I mean, you've got Jones, who's obviously the premier talent, and then you've got Williams, who's a great backup running back, and then you've got Dylan, who's kind of the bowling ball who can hit you between the tackles. I kind of love that threesome, and I think that might give Tampa Bay some real trouble this weekend if Green Bay utilizes it correctly. I think the game really comes down to that big breakaway play from Lazard, too. It's a touchdown game. If he doesn't slip the tackle and run into the end zone, you know, maybe they force a punt there and maybe Goff has another possession. I mean, I think it was a little closer than most people think. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, Goff was efficient, but the Rams just didn't have enough firepower to hang with that Green Bay offense. You're right. I mean, this is the best offense in the league for a reason. It's scoring at a rate that, you know, other people are just not matching right now.
Yeah, and it's hard to beat a team when they're in that kind of zone. I mean, the loss of Cooper Kupp was huge, too. It's really, people may not understand the impact that he has on that offense. He just opens things up for Goff. Goff has a trust with him. And when he's not in there, he just looks like a different quarterback. The Packers, they're looking like a formidable squad. I mean, I guess there's some concerns about their defense that you got to worry about, but I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup with the Bucs here. So let's go ahead. Let's look at the conference championship games. First, though, I'd like to update the listeners about our playoff challenge. So I am the only one with both my teams still in the hunt. I've got the Packers and the Bills. I'm in first place with 6 points, boys. Coulter, you still got the Chiefs, okay? They're hanging around for you. They're showing up. You are sitting at 3 points. Hughes, as we said, Tommy and the Bucks, they're still playing. You also have 3. Mr. Model, unfortunately, has been eliminated. I think that's why he did not want to come on tonight. He finishes with 1 point as the Saints and the Steelers are eliminated. But boys, this is the round. This is the round where you can make up some ground. The conference championship is worth 5 points. As I said, I've got two horses. I like my odds. You boys have one each. So we'll see what we can get at. Let's go ahead. Let's start with the first game, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. I didn't realize this is the first conference championship that Rodgers is playing in Lambeau. That kind of blows my mind. But home field advantage, huge here. What we're going to do, we're going to discuss the games. Each person will make their pick a little different than we had done in previous formats. But we're still making two picks. So let's start with this game. Hughes, it's your boy Tom. Tampa Bay is in it. We'll go to you first here. The game opened up at Green Bay -3.5. It's now sitting at Green Bay -3. And over under that I'm seeing is 51. So take it away.
Yeah. So with this one, I mean, again, I don't want to read too much into it. I think Coulter mentioned something about that Rams game that I think is important, which that game was a lot closer than I think the final score dictated. Though I don't know if I ever felt like the Rams had a chance. I definitely thought that there was an opportunity for the Packers to let them back in that game. They didn't do it. And I think they had some really opportunistic plays, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen this week. And I think, again, I think Tom Brady and I think this Tampa team understands now like what it's going to take to go on the road. I think it was we've obviously the road experience in the playoffs is much different than it's ever been before. But I do think that there's a comfort level and obviously in this case, potentially a climate and weather level that is going to be different. Obviously, I don't think that affects Tom having played in New England for as long as he did, but it will affect other guys. There are a lot of guys on that Tampa team that have probably never played in cold weather. That being said, I think, you know, again, sometimes going on the road can galvanize a team. Getting a big win against the Saints, we're going to see early on, very early on, in my opinion, whether Tampa is game from a defensive standpoint for the challenge and whether or not the offense can find a way to click. I like the under in this game, under 51. Here's why. I think Tampa's defense is playing really well, and I think we're due for a Packers kind of, I don't want to say a letdown, but I do think that this will be a close, lower scoring game. I do think, you know, it's got the possibility of being a shootout, but I just don't get that feel from it. Like, as I've looked at this, as I've kind of considered these two teams, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I do like Tampa in the points just because, like, take the points. Like, I think this is an even matchup. I think both teams are at that point where, like, it could go either way. So you might as well take the three. And plus, the three gives you a lot of wiggle room both ways. And so I like the three, and I would also take the under. I don't think we see the like lighted up scoreboard type game from Rodgers, just because I do like the Bucs defense. That being said, I think the best player on defense is probably Jair Alexander, the corner for the Packers. And so there's an angle that it's not going to be easy for Tampa to move the ball. I think we see a lot of running and it's going to come down a lot. I mean, it's a Jones on Jones matchup. We'll see which one wins.
Yeah. I think you made some good points there. Coulter, what do you got in this game?
Yeah, this one is a little bit harder for me to handicap. I'll take the points as well with Tampa Bay at 3.5. I like having that half point, but if it's 3, it's a pass for me. I also struggle with Bruce Arians, as you guys know. I won with the Saints last week, kind of as a fade of Bruce. But when I look at this game, I see a Tampa Bay team that's only been getting progressively better as the season has gone along. And I see a Green Bay team with a few wins. As I said last week, I think that against the Bears at the end of the season and the Titans, they might be just a hair overinflated. Playing Jared Goff last week, similarly, they just have not faced a quarterback of the caliber of Tom Brady in a while. And the last time they did, they got torched. I like their secondary a lot. I kind of like Hughes' underplay. I think they're able to kind of actually suppress the passing tree that they're going to have in Tampa Bay and pull the receivers down and get some pressure on Brady. I think the Smith brothers are actually a pretty potent combo on the front seven. So I think Hughes has got a pretty good take on this game. I would probably lean under and probably lean towards the Bucks. The one thing I would say is if the Packers are a really good first half team, so if they jump out to a 7-0, 14-0 lead, this game might just go over by nature of Tom Brady making a comeback in the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. So points could just be maybe the second half over is where you want to look. Because this is a Packers team that does jump out quickly. And if they do jump out in this game, I could see this game going over if that's the scenario.
Mr. Model had texted me his pick yesterday. He got the book Tampa Bay plus 3.5. So he got the hook on that one. Man, I've gone back and forth on this one as well. If I'm seeing it at 3, my lean is Green Bay. They've been really good, obviously. Coulter, you made a good point where they jump out and score some points early and then kind of get in the rhythm, and they dictate the pace of the game. For me, what I'm seeing from them is going to be, like I kind of teased earlier in the episode, it's going to be, what does Devin White do against Aaron Jones? And I know they've got that three-headed monster, but Aaron Jones is their guy. He's their workhorse. If he can grind it up the middle, get those kind of dirty yards and open up the play action for them, I like what Green Bay can do in the passing attack. That's my only worry with that Buccaneers defense, is their secondary. They got a lot of young guys in there. They did a really good job against Michael Thomas, but you're talking about, you know, Winfield's a rookie. They got Chark as a young guy. I mean, they got young guys all around in that secondary. I think there's areas for Green Bay to exploit them. So I'm going to be taking Green Bay minus 3. So I'll take a crossfire, I guess, with everybody. but
I'm up for it.
All right. I do like the under in this game, though. I do think this is going to be a little different style of a game than we've seen from these two teams. I just something about it just screams to me that they're going to come out and play like a more conservative approach, both these teams, actually. So that's why I do like the under.
So one thing to keep in mind, obviously, they played earlier in the season, 38-10 Tampa. I don't foresee that happening. But that game also, given that total, would have been under, and you still had a decent amount of points. 51, I think, is a good cushion. I'm in for the crossfire at 3. And again, based off what we've all talked about, we're talking about Tom Brady getting 3 points in a playoff game with a team that's good. I don't know. It seems like a good play. It's Tom Brady.
You're not wrong. And it's a bad idea to bet against Tom Brady in January, but I'm doing it. I got to play a little aggressive. I feel like I've got a good feel on what's happening right now with these four teams. I'm glad you did mention that these two teams played earlier in the year. We're actually getting matchups, both games, where the teams have played each other this year.
Those were blowouts, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I would be very, very, very shocked if these two games play out the way the earlier games did. I think we're going to get slower, kind of grinding out games. I don't know what the weather's like in Green Bay. But I do think it's funny. I've been seeing people on Twitter saying like, oh, how's Tom Brady going to play in the cold? It's like these kids that are like out there being like, do you not realize he played 20 years in New England? not a concern for Tom, but these guys that are, you know, Tampa guys, the people on that roster, you made a good point, Hughes. These aren't the same guys that Brady's played with that have been in championship games. It's going to be really interesting to see if Tom can will this team to a victory and really get these guys to play their best football. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. So LaDainian Tomlinson, I don't know if you guys remember that game. I think it was in New England. He ended up getting hurt like early, didn't play the whole game. Could you imagine if like someone did that to Tom in like one of these games? Like he would kill somebody on the sideline. Like I think we're going to get that level of competitiveness. And I don't know if it'll be successful. I did see 32 in chance of snow, as I just looked it up in Green Bay for this game on Sunday. But I do think like the competitive nature of Tom, you're right. You're going to see it early. Like I really think we're going to know in the first quarter, like what's going to happen in this game, because he's either going to be out there just undressing dudes because they're not ready to go, or he's going to be like, okay, like let's let this game kind of play out and see where we land. Because I do foresee that this one's going to be, he's going to be fired up.
Oh yeah. And I think the storyline on the other side with Rodgers too is interesting, because when you look back at his run, and it's been with him and McCarthy for all those years, I really think we're going to look back and be like, it's shocking that they only won one Super Bowl. You know, Green Bay got to the championship game last year. They lost. They're here this year. I think what you're going to see from Rodgers is that same equal fire that he can produce and see what he's got. Obviously he's not the kind of like competitive, outwardly showing competitiveness guy that Brady is. But there's a lot on the line for Rodgers here. I'd arguably say there's more on the line for Rodgers than Brady. Brady's got a chance to do something that nobody's ever done, but he's still got 6 Super Bowls. That guy's got every record. He's the GOAT, whatever you want to call him. Rodgers is in that kind of like tier with Brady right now. And if you look back at his end of his career and he only ends up with one Super Bowl, I think a lot of people are going to be like, what the hell happened? How did he not get over that hump? So that's my take on that game. I think there's a little extra storylines there. All right. Let's jump to the later game, Buffalo Bills at Kansas City. The game, the line opened up at -2.5. It has ticked up to -3 for the Chiefs. The over under, I'm seeing it right now at 53.5. little bit down from what it opened up at 56. We were talking online before we started this that, you know, there's a lot of variables with this line, especially with Patrick Mahomes here. So, Hughes, what do you got in this game?
I'm going with the Bills. I think, again, I've been riding the Bills for most of the year. I think that they're a team of destiny, so to speak. And I ultimately think that in this game, I think they'll be the hungrier team. Now, I think that there's always a relativity to what hungriness might mean. But I do think that they will come out with an energy that the Chiefs won't have. Now, that being said, the game's a long game. The Chiefs are very good at weathering an early storm and absolutely stepping on people's throats. Obviously, it all hinges on Mahomes. If Mahomes is out, I mean, I don't think there's any way that Chad Henne navigates four quarters and wins. We talked about the fact that these guys have played before. So I really like Buffalo. Not knowing the Mahomes thing as well, I'm going to take the under in this one too. So I'm going to go Buffalo in the under. Points and no points. I'm rooting for boring football, I guess, this weekend.
Coulter, we said we think this line has already got the factor in of Mahomes potentially playing. So what are you making from this line in this game?
Yeah, this is a contingency best bet for me. I love to get the Bills at +3.5, +4 if it goes up with Mahomes. Bills are the hottest team in football. Great defense that bends but doesn't break. That's great for January. They played close with Indianapolis and I think threw people off the scent because Indianapolis is so good up front. But I don't think Kansas City manhandles people like Indianapolis does. They're more of a finesse offense. They're timing-based. They're speed-based. They're not strength-based, which clearly Buffalo struggled with. But I think they're going to actually have their way with the Kansas City offense, especially if Mahomes is a little bit limited, like we're saying. I think this comes down to who makes the biggest play in the turnover battle. And the Bills, they're going to have a chance of making those turnovers if Mahomes is sitting in the pocket and he's playing hurt. This is a team that they were second in the league in creating turnovers, 26 this year. So I think if Buffalo can make a big play, pick off Mahomes, we've seen he's not been as effective down the stretch here in his final four games. His stats have kind of turned sour. I think this is the team that could pull the upset this weekend. They're just playing with all sorts of momentum. And we kind of touched on it. The fumble out of the end zone in the Cleveland game really shows that Kansas City's kind of thin. And they've been getting by these games. They haven't covered in 9 straight games, whereas the Bills are 7 of 8. This line just seems a little too high, especially if it's a 3.5, 4.
Yep. Mr. Model texted in. Sorry. Go ahead, Hughes.
I was just going to ask a question. Do you know, is there a status on any of the guys, Watkins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Because I do think, too, like, the Chiefs seemed undermanned last week. Like, even when Mahomes was in there, like, I thought Damian Williams played great. But, like, they just didn't seem like they had, like, a lot of weapons. And Kelsey, obviously, is his own beast. The guy's unbelievable. But, like, other than him, like, and by the way, we didn't really even talk about the other the cheetah pushing his coach on the sideline.
Oof, good call. I forgot about that.
That was weird. I couldn't tell if he was joking or not. But anyways, you can get the models pick. But I was curious if we know yet on Edwards-Helaire or Watkins.
So I took a look. They're all listed as limited participants in practice. But, you know, it's Wednesday. We're recording. It's early. I think tomorrow is going to be the big day for them if those guys practice or not. It's a fair point, though, because when Le'Veon Bell was in the game, I mean, he was a non-factor, and I don't think they really trust him necessarily to run that offense the way that they did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Even Damian Williams, I mean, he you saw him catching some passes. He had some life in that game, like you said, Hughes. There's something weird with this Chiefs team. They really did not pull away from the Browns like I thought they were going to, especially when Mahomes was in that game. And last week, Coulter, we were talking, you mentioned that you know, Spags is going to dial up something on defense for those Chiefs, but my guy Spags, I think, is ultimately just a little lacking in the personnel. I think the Honey Badger is their best player on defense. You know, Chris Jones can do – who's the guy from? Sorry. Yeah, Jones.
Yeah.
He can do some things up front that, you know, really can mess up your timing. But beyond that, they're really not a deep unit that I think you can expose them. So what I would be surprised by is if the Bills don't come out and do pretty much the same game plan that they did against the Ravens. You're going to see Josh Allen throwing a lot of passes. You're going to see Diggs. You're going to see a lot of that kind of deep play action game that they run a lot. That's what I would see from them. Now, on the other side, I actually think the Bills defense can match up pretty well with the Chiefs. And watching the telecast last week, Romo brought up a really good point where Mahomes really does his damage when teams are blitzing him. He's incredible at finding the blitz, the hot route, reading the guy, and then just getting his guys open, throwing his guys open. But what he struggled at is when people are getting pressure with their front four. Buffalo's front four isn't great, but I think they can do enough now that Mahomes is kind of limited with his foot and the toe thing, and who knows what he's going to be doing with his concussion. I think they actually generate enough pressure here to really make an impact on this game and throw Mahomes off. And he said, right, if it's Henny, I mean, this line's going to jump up to seven. It's going to swing over to the Bills. I'm taking the Bills in this one as well. Mr. Model actually texted in that he is going to be taking the Chiefs. He's taking the favorites here. I don't know if he's going to crossfire. I'm going to let him make that decision next week. But, man, I tell you what, this game, too, is going to be a fantastic matchup. So you got the two older quarterbacks in the NFC. You got the two young guns in the AFC. I think from a just storyline perspective, that to me, the most interesting one is going to be the Bills and the Bucks from the fans' standpoint. And hear me out, because if you're the Bills, you finally are like, hey, Tom Brady, the boogeyman, is no longer in our division, and they get to their first Super Bowl in, what, 30 years? And who are they going to be facing? Tom Brady? I mean, Hughes, I think that to me is the most interesting one. What do you got for the most interesting Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I think any of the there was, I think there's a callback to Super Bowl, was it Super Bowl one? Was Chiefs Packers maybe? There was an early Chiefs Packers Super Bowl. So I think there's some stuff there. But yes, I think the most interesting, compelling story would be either the double underdog matchup of the Bills finally make it and they end up running into Tom Brady in Tampa in a situation where they've got to play a team in their home building and it just be kind of unfortunate. Or I think the Mahomes Rodgers, the two top seeds, the absolute perennial offensive powers of the league right now, would also be a Super Bowl that everybody could get excited about. And we would all ultimately probably be disappointed in, like the old days when we all got excited and one team ends up winning by 50 or something. But I think there's a compelling argument for that game too, of like, let's see what everybody considers are the two best quarterbacks potentially in the league right now. I think you would say that both playing at an MVP level. And I think that would be another really an interesting, fun matchup, to watch.
The State Farm Bowl. Coulter, what storyline do you like the best?
Yeah, I don't think you've ever had and people can tweet us and check me if I'm wrong about this, but when was the last time we had an MVP versus the MVP number two? In the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think by the fact that we have never seen a Super Bowl where the two best quarterbacks in the league go toe to toe. Usually there's always somebody that's kind of crashing the party, so to speak. So I think that by default has to be. I also have a future bet on it, so I'm looking forward to if the two home teams win, I'm looking forward to cashing that one. I've been sitting on it for a while. But I think that's number one. And I actually think number two would be the Bills and Packers, just because you get the small town fan bases. You get the kind of the blue collar workers of Buffalo and Green Bay. And you also get Allen, who's kind of doing his best Rodgers imitation, I think, this year and could be the next Rodgers, for the future generation of passers. And you have the Bills in the Super Bowl, which sells itself. I think you definitely, just having them in the Super Bowl in any scenario, whether they're playing Tom Brady, their arch nemesis from the AFC East, or if they're playing the Packers, the small town thing, I think anything with Buffalo definitely will sell. So it's weird to not give a Tom Brady answer, but I think those are the top two in terms of interest.
It's also kind of wild from a just media perspective that you got four pretty much small market teams that are playing this weekend that could be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what's the biggest market? Tampa Bay?
Probably.
It's got to be, I guess, with the Brady following. I mean, you have New England and Florida, right? Yeah, and Michigan.
I'd imagine that's got to be the biggest one, but yeah, very strange. Do we want to throw out one fun little prop bet now before we do a full Super Bowl prop bet and really dive into all of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm looking at the odds to win Super Bowl MVP. Obviously, the four quarterbacks are your favorites. You've got Mahomes at plus 275. Rodgers tied with him, plus 275. Josh Allen, plus 450. Tom Brady, plus 550. Then it gets interesting. Travis Kelce, plus 1,800. Tyreek Hill, plus 1,800. Devontae Adams plus 1,800, Stephon Diggs plus 2,200, Aaron Jones plus 2,800, and to me, the wild card, Tyrann Mathieu plus 4,000. Hughes, who do you got?
Wow.
I think, I mean, if I had to pick, what was Josh Allen at?
Did you get Josh Allen is at plus 450.
So Josh Allen right now for Super Bowl MVP is plus 450.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, that doesn't seem like very good odds.
So if I think the Bills are going to win, crazy. You should put that bet down.
Yeah, but like even if we roll into Super Bowl week, what's he going to be at? He can't be like, he's going to be at like, what, plus 250? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm interested in how those swings would be. But yeah, I mean, I would say of all those, I think Tyreek Hill would, interestingly enough, probably be the value bet that, like, he's the type of guy that, like, in a Super Bowl, like, could get you some really crazy fun odds. And I mean, I'm not a Tyreek Hill guy, obviously, given the fact that I talked about earlier about the fact that he pushed his coach and he was out there the next play and they actually threw it to him, which was even crazier. It's like, hey, you throw your coach on the ground on the sideline, and guess what? We're making sure you get the ball the next play. But that's how the Chiefs are. That's the Andy Reid model. And ultimately, like, it's worked until it doesn't work. And then when it starts to fall apart, it gets really ugly. So hopefully the Chiefs don't get to that point. But I think Tyreek Hill from an odds perspective. I also love Diggs. I mean, Diggs has been – it's one of my favorite guys to watch play. I mean, all the things that he brings to the field, all the things that he's brought to the Bills, and the fact that he ultimately got out from where he was and ultimately not happy and is able to contribute. I would take one of the receivers, either Diggs or Hill, depending on who you think is going to win that game. It's probably be my pick.
Escaping Kirk Cousins and going to Josh Allen, paradise for a receiver. Coulter, who do you like?
Gotta be.
Yeah, you know, last year I was pulling my hair out, yelling at the TV screen because I thought Damian Williams should have definitely been consideration for a Super Bowl MVP. And of course, it just went to the quarterback like it always does. So I feel like we're foolish to look anywhere else besides the top four here, because in a game like last year where there was no clear Super Bowl MVP, they just gave it to Mahomes just de facto. He made one great pass at the end of the game, and that was enough for him to win. I hate to say it, but I think Mahomes definitely has a great case. I mean, I get the fun with Tyreek Hill, but I mean, if Mahomes could win last year, I don't see how he couldn't win again this year. I don't see how Kelce or Hill could really trump him in a game where he's thrown for 400 yards potentially. And you get a little bit better value than you have if you put money on the Chiefs right now. Josh Allen, I think, also has good value. I guess the one guy I would throw on would be Aaron Jones at 28-1, because if he scores three touchdowns, he could pull the Terrell Davis and he could win it. But Green Bay's run offense and LaFleur has not been consistent enough to make me think that Aaron Jones is doing the Terrell Davis type thing. So I have to look at quarterback. I know it's not really a fun answer, but that's where I would look for this prop.
It just makes sense. And, you know, I had initially thought maybe Devontae Adams would be the guy. But then when you think about it, if he's having a big enough game where he's the MVP, there's no way they're not giving it to Rodgers in his, like, second Super Bowl. It's just they're not going to do it unless he has, like, the most awful game ever, but somehow Adams has three touchdowns. I can't see that. So, yeah, for me, I got to take one of the quarterbacks. I'm taking the Packers, so I guess it's, you know, if you're getting 2.7-1 on Aaron Rodgers, how do you say no to that one? I thought it was interesting.
You have to go with Rodgers if you think the Packers. I mean, think about it. Mahomes won last year with two picks, and yep, he didn't throw for 300 yards. And that, by his standards, under 300 yards is bad enough for him not to win any sort of trophy, I think. And then he had two picks in addition to that, you know? He made the one great play, and that's all that really ended up mattering.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. It's a quarterback league. It's probably going to be a quarterback award unless someone goes completely off. Aaron Jones, that's a good one to maybe – you know, gamble with, throw a little box of ZD on if you want to take some odds, because it is a running back.
I mean, I would definitely, too, if you like the Packers, maybe wait until Super Bowl week and see what you can get for Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. Because, I mean, if those guys have a quote-unquote, you know, Von Miller type game where they strip Mahomes of a ball and recover a fumble, maybe get a touchdown, scoop and score, that's the kind of play that you win an MVP, Super Bowl MVP with if you're a defensive player.
Za'Darius Smith currently sitting at plus 5,000. Not a bad one to gamble on. All right, gentlemen. Yeah,
even there, it's not even worth it. Honestly, I know it sounds ridiculous saying plus 50 to 1 odds. You know, if you throw $5 on and that hits, it's anybody would be happy with it. But I still don't think it's actually even that great. I think it's like, it's one of those things where Rodgers is, if they're in the Super Bowl, it's going to go to Rodgers unless that play happens, right? You'd be better off betting on defensive touchdown when the prop bets come out.
And we will be doing a full episode of breaking all that stuff down. Don't you worry about that.
Can we just, so you had to throw that in there. And I don't know if this was on purpose. No, I'm just kidding. I know it wasn't. That was by far the worst beat I think I took all year. I had first touchdown, Tampa defense. And you ran out of bounds. Was it Tampa? Yeah, it was Tampa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if for anybody out there that likes prop bets, D score or quarterback score, first touchdown are my two favorites because you just have so many opportunities. We got Mahomes this past weekend. I did not have that one, but Mahomes scored the first touchdown in the Chiefs game. Like any of those quarter, because like they don't, especially the non-running ones, like you can get really, really solid odds. And the chance that the ball ends up on the 1 yard line, you get a QB sneak or you get a scramble are really good. I also love the defensive ones. And I did have Tampa, and literally the guy just had to cut back inside and would have walked into the end zone and decides to take a full swan dive, get speared by an offensive lineman and step out of bounds at the 3 yard line. It was very difficult to watch.
I totally forgot about that, Hughes. I'm glad you brought that one up. That was one of the most just gut-wrenching losses on a bet ticket I've seen in a long time. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it was five to win 150. And it's just like, you know, like I like throwing $5 on some of those. And like, and you know, you hit one of those every 5 weeks and like, boom, I mean, you're paying for the rest of the season in your prop bets. But yeah, man, it's tough.
I've been saying it all the time. Those kind of bets, it's like playing the numbers in roulette. You know, you're not putting your house money on. You're not putting a huge giant bet on it, but you're sprinkling a little money here and there, you know, seeing what might hit. Fucking love it.
By the way, that's another fun one. If you get the score two touchdowns, props are also fun. And you can get great. Like if you had scored two touchdowns on, there was somebody who was insane. I saw the bet ticket. It's from the Saints game. The Saints.
Traquan Smith.
Yeah. It was incredible. It was like plus 10,000. Like, I mean, five wins you 500. Like, and again, those aren't time bound. So you can, that's obviously during the game, but like those bets are fun too, for players to score two touchdowns. Some of those wide receivers, and quarterback too, you can get like, you could probably get Josh Allen to score two touchdowns at somewhere around like plus 5,000, plus 6,000. And again, $5 wins you 300. That's not a bad little scratch ticket.
I can't wait for the full prop episode. I want to say the only really in-depth episode that we've ever done on here was Mr. Model and I did we did a confidence pool based on every bowl game, I think in like 2018. It was like a 2-hour episode. I think it was our lowest listened to episode, but we were just in the absolute weeds making picks. So I feel like we'll do that again this time. All right, gentlemen.
North Texas by a touchdown.
Oh, exactly. Mr. Model loves those bets. He loves living in the weeds, and I love it. So hopefully we'll get him on next week with some more updates on college basketball. But it'll be interesting to see what he's got for us, my friends. All righty. Episode number 97 in the books. Gentlemen, we're close to that 100 number. We will see everybody next week on Double Down Trent.
Baby, look at me. Look at me. Your money, and you know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I want to leave. You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
Fucking
asshole. All right, fine. I'm an asshole, but you know what? You're the big winner tonight, Mikey. You're the big winner in more ways than one.